Title of our lesson this morning is The Will of His Father. And as we consider that, Lucas, I got a whole bunch of things, a to-do list I'd like for you to do around the house this week. Anyways. But you know what? Lucas looked at me and he's like, yeah, I know some of them. I don't know some of them. But that's not in my plans. I could tell by look on his face. Okay, you know, whatever. But you know what? When God asks us to do something, when we think about what God's will and what God wants for us to do in our lives, do we have that same expression? Yeah, whatever. That's not what I planned. I hadn't thought about it. If I have to, is that how we treat God when He asks us to read His holy word, to work on our faith, to share our faith and our salvation with other folks? In our passage this morning, Matthew 21, some of the highlighted things this morning for us to take a peek at. Obviously, as you can see, it's red letter edition, which means words of Jesus. Jesus, our Savior, Son of God. Most powerful words, some of the most powerful words, if not the most, man's ever known. And because if I don't bold it, it's tough to read sometimes, so I bolded all of them and just underlined instead of bolding the things for us to take a peek at. And just as I mentioned, you know, Lucas, I'm going to use you today. You're my son. Thanks for the example. Appreciate it. And I'm the same way. When my dad told me to do this, do that, my dad really didn't give me a whole bunch of direction. He wasn't that type. He wasn't as demanding as I was, Lucas. He's pretty easy. He's a little more easygoing. But I know there's times in his life where I wonder why he wasn't helping me. And I feel that sometimes when I wish I had some help and my son's doing something else with his own choice. But you know what? God doesn't do that to us. God doesn't say, I wish I had some help and I never asked for it. God doesn't say, I wish I had some help, but nobody's prepared to serve. I wish I had some help, but I don't have anybody to help me. Because we are available. And God has told us how to be available and be ready. And in this passage, obviously, two sons. Adam, you're going to have two sons coming up, right? Growing up. One of them said, nah, not today. I don't want to do it. And the other one said, yeah, I'll do it. First thing you're going to say is, man, I'll do it, son, is my go-to man, right? But that's not the case, because he was just words only without any action. Faith without any action is a dead faith, spoken of in James. But the couple words here in this passage, regret it, relent, righteousness. If we consider that one of them regretted it, basically recognized it, reviewed his heart, and went. And the other one said, yeah, I'll go, but he didn't. How's that work with us folks in the kingdom of heaven? It's a heart issue. One of them recognized, you know what, I should be doing the right thing. I need to be helping my dad. One of them just said, yeah, I'll help you, Dad, and then just let it on go. Now, that's falsehood. We talked this morning in Bible class about lying lips and about things that are false, things that aren't beneficial, things that somebody like us shouldn't do. Folks, the Bible says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Be real careful when you commit to something. But it's the same thing as us in the kingdom of heaven, folks. There's those of us that, yeah, I'm going to do that, Jesus. Yeah, I'm going to do that. Yeah, I'm going to read my Bible. Yeah, I'm going to reach out and talk to somebody this week. I'm going to share my faith. Yeah. And then you don't do it. And then there's those of us that say, nah, not today. Man, I need to open God's Word. I'm missing out. I regret not praying today. I regret not opening God's Word today. I regret not talking to God today. And that's when the Holy Spirit and God's working on our heart when that happens, folks. This person that said, I'm going to do it. The son that said, yeah, I'll do it and left. Where's his heart at? It's on the things that he wants to do. He doesn't care about his father. And that's the same thing with the way in the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, I'll do that, Jesus. Yeah, I'm all aboard. I'm going to, yeah. How many of you worked with people like that? Have a meeting and the boss says, I need somebody to do this. Yeah, I'll do it. I need somebody to do this. Yeah, I'll do it. Next week you have the same meeting. Hey, has this been done? Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, still hasn't been done. 2 weeks later. Hey, where are we at on this? Yeah, I'll do it. Folks, these biblical principles work in our lives. We follow Jesus, and we follow Jesus and apply these principles when we say, yes, Father, I'll do it. We regret it, you know. I get told sometimes by my boss to do things, and I'm like, man, I don't want to do that. I'm above that. Somebody else should be doing that. And then I regret it because God's Holy Spirit's working in my life. And I do what I'm told. It's the same thing with Kingdom of Heaven. There's times when we tell Jesus, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to get up on Sunday morning. Most of us don't have that issue, folks. We're here. Which is very positive. Now, these people said, and they said to him the first. So they recognized, after Jesus told them the story, they recognized who did the right thing. And then Jesus said to them, surely I say to you that a tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. And obviously he's speaking to Jews at the time. Pharisees, Sadducees, lawyers. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him, and when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him. You did not believe him. Folks, one of the most, I think, parallel passages this would go with when Jesus said, people said, Lord, Lord, and he says, I never knew you. Because they said, we know the right thing to do is to regret it and went and do what God asks us to do, what the Father asks us to do. He asked them again, John, what about John the Baptist? He came to you in the way of righteousness. Nobody could have spoke the truth any better. He was the prophet of all prophets. He didn't do anything socially unacceptable that you could convict him of sin-wise. We're going to look at the passage in Matthew that pertains to this next, this morning. It's a hard issue. Do I want to follow his will or do I want to follow my own will? And the leaders of the Jewish religious people of God did not believe the truth that God had sent. Still want to do it a little bit my way. I really don't, I'm not all in. I don't believe it. Jesus says it twice. You did not believe him, and afterward you didn't relent, and you did not believe him. Our next passage this morning comes from Luke chapter 7. And we're going to be running through the next couple passages, or all Luke and these passages following. Beginning chapter 7, verse 19, it is written, And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to Jesus, saying, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" When the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?'" And that very hour he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits, and to many blind he gave sight. Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind hear, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me." If you're going to write a short paragraph about Jesus in your life, if you're going to share how special Jesus was when he walked here on this earth, wouldn't this be a neat paragraph? And Jesus says it of himself. John, one of the most greatest prophets of God that ever walked the face of the earth, says, "Hey, are you the one? I'm looking for what God promised us." People are still in our lives looking for what God has promised. And Jesus is that answer. And there's still many people today that are looking for something else other than Jesus, but they're mistaken. Jesus is that answer. He's the only one in the history of the world that have made blind see, lame walk, lepers cleanse, deaf hear, raise the dead, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Yes, there's prophets and people throughout history have done one or two or some of these things, but nobody has ever done all of these things that Jesus did when he was here. We talked, I think, a couple weeks ago about him being a great prophet, and we don't call Jesus a prophet even though he was, because he was the Son of God. "And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." We talked this morning in Bible class a little bit about being able to push the button on the remote when something offends us because of Jesus' sake. Basically, in a nutshell, folks, we said, it was brought up anyways, I guess I said it, I'll say it again. As you're babysitting your children and your grandchildren and there's some type of TV on that you need to change the channel, maybe you ought not be watching that. Or if, for some reason, if you think of me this way, or Brad or Brother Tom, if you have a visit from a preacher or the elders and you think you might not want to watch that TV show while they're sitting there in your living room, maybe you ought to have some self-control of the remote control. Saying no to Satan, folks. "Blessed is he who is not offended because of me." There's times in my life, folks, that I'm a little bit shy. A little bit shy about stuff. But it's a heart issue, folks. I want my heart to be right with God. I wanted my heart to be right with Jesus. I want to do the right thing. I want to live righteously. I don't want to be offended because Jesus says don't do that. Or Jesus wouldn't do what I'm doing. Following in the same passage, "When the messengers of John had departed, he began to speak to the multitude concerning John." This is what I referred to a little bit earlier. "What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who are gorgeously appareled and live in luxury are in king's courts. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face,
who will prepare your way before you. For I say to you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. The underlying portions of this passage I'd like for us to consider in the lesson this morning, folks, is what did you go out to see? When you came here this morning, what did you go out to see for worship service? When you get up every morning to start a new day that God's blessed us, what are you going out to see? God's beautiful creation and an opportunity to help somebody live for eternity? An opportunity to better yourself and help your heart stay right with God for that day. Each day has its trouble therein, right? God's word says. There's not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. That's a pretty bold statement right there. Of all the great prophets, of all the prophets and the things that people did, hundreds of people that repented when Jonah went out, the things that Isaiah did, Elisha, Jeremiah. I mean, the prophet, all of them, it's just unbelievable. Jesus says, John the Baptist, who's about as hillbilly and homely as you can get in our world today. Didn't do anything fancy, didn't live anywhere fancy. All he did is speak the truth and try to help people repent and follow what God's will was. The will of the Father. The will of the Father. In our last passage this morning, continuing on in Luke chapter 7. And when all the people heard him, even the tax collectors justified God, having been baptized with the baptisms of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. And the Lord said, to what then shall I liken the men of this generation? And what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, saying, we played a flute for you, and you did not dance. And we mourned to you, and you did not weep. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he has a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber. A friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified by all her children. What an absurd thing for somebody to call one of the greatest prophets ever to walk the earth. You've got a demon. Devil made you do it. Folks, that's a hard issue. When God's truths presented by anybody, especially somebody, folks, that you know is right with God, they need to be able to work on our hearts. Because the truth of God certainly didn't work on these people's hearts. The Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves. Basically, they said, not today, Jesus. Not today, God. I'm too busy for that. I'm going to make an excuse. I think that guy has a demon. I'm going to make an excuse. Jesus, you're eating and drinking with sinners. You're in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people. A friend of tax collectors and sinners. But Jesus says wisdom is justified by all her children. Folks, it's a hard issue. And God's words and truths are simple. We don't have to have a PhD to follow Jesus. We've got to have our hearts open to His truths. And we've got to look for those truths by being here in worship service, obviously. But open it in His Word. Open His Word. Fill in our tank. A month or so ago, I talked about filling your tank with good things. Sometimes we feel like our tank's half empty or empty or a quarter full. Maybe we feel like it's full, which is great. But make sure it's full of things that are truths from God's Word. Not traditions and commandments of men or one group or another, folks. In closing this morning, which of the two did the will of his father? The person that acted on it and regretted it and recognized, I need to change my heart. I need to do the right thing. For John came to you in the way of righteousness and you did not believe him. Folks, when God's holy word is spoken to you, either from here or a Bible study or you're reading his holy word, you got to believe it's the right thing to do in our lives. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Be proud. Be confident in your faith and whose you are. Don't give up on Jesus when you're tempted. Don't give up on Jesus when you're in a different crowd. Jesus didn't give up when he went with tax collectors and sinners and harlots and people eating and drinking. He stayed true to the Father. We can do the same thing. What did you go out to see? What are you looking for? When you come to worship service, are you looking to be enriched? Are you looking to learn something from God? Is your heart right with God? Folks, I ask myself these questions daily. Is my heart right with God? We sing that song, Is Thy Heart Right with God? There's no better place to be than have your heart right with God. And to have wisdom being justified. Folks, using what God's given you, your great talents, your understanding, your salvation, Holy Spirit working in your life to follow Him. If you've not committed to follow Him, as Jesus would have us do, be baptized in for the remission of your sins, or you have something on your heart, you need prayers of the congregation, we offer an invitation this morning to come forward as we stand and sing the selected song. Song number 563.